They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
They own you.
I was mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
From XPR, Expat Progressive Radio, it's time for the Bills Show. And now, here are the Bills.
...2014 has begun with an extreme blast of winter weather. A huge storm has been moving across much of the country, bringing with it freezing temperatures and lots of snow. In Minneapolis, temperatures dropped to around zero. Fire crews struggled to deal with a massive blaze following an explosion at an apartment complex. Water used to fight the flames quickly turned to ice in the extreme temperatures. And in Indiana, slippery, snow-covered roads are making travel difficult for drivers. Nearly a foot of snow has already fallen in Chicago, with more expected today. Residents are doing their best to dig out.
And welcome to the Bill Show with Randall Berger.
Oh, yes. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea.
You're going to have to change your name to Bill.
Bill, yeah, okay. Randall William, well, my father's name was Bill, so
yeah.
I'll be William Randall Berger. How's that?
So you're cozying up to the...
I'm Bill 3.
Yeah, you
B3,
are.
B3, yeah.
B3
okay.
now, because right. basically what's going to happen is from now on, Randall's going to be doing every of the show.
I'm semi-regular, yeah. yeah. It's all the extra fiber.
Yeah. Bill is taking a bit of a break, but he's going to be back here. He's going to be like the senior correspondent, like Walter Cronkite. He's going to fly in on his chopper.
Yeah, he's not going to be the
peace symbols on the chopper, and you know.
Yeah, cool. No, he's that. That's good. Yeah,
so. Bill actually is a spiritual figure that can actually read men's minds. He's an amazing. He's an amazing preacher.
Yeah.
So Bill,
he lives in a city called Cockatoo.
Yes. Anyway, listen. We just did this thing with the weather in the United States.
Yes, the weather.
I just came back.
Five blizzards in a row. How do you get five blizzards? You know, where does that come from?
Well, I'm thinking. You know, I'm thinking.
Wow, what's that word? It's on the tip of my tongue. Climate change. That's it. No, I've heard it.
Could it be?
Yeah, the climate is changing.
Climate changes.
Yes, it's like the dinosaurs.
No, but Randy,
63 million years, it comes around. Yeah,
I've been outside.
Yeah,
and it's rather cold.
Yeah,
so I guess that global warming ain't actually happening.
No, my still blew
what
out.
That's senator said, and I believe him.
You know what? They were so hungry in Punxsutawney that they actually ate the groundhog when he came out and looked at the weather and died.
the groundhog guy.
The groundhog guy in Punxsutawney.
Yeah.
Because
Atlanta has gone crazy.
Yes, because yes,
all those people in Atlanta got my word. What's happening?
My little it's shocking.
It seems to be a blizzard.
It snowed in Florida.
What is that white substance falling from the sky?
What about Florida? Florida frozen orange juice futures.
Yeah, I know.
Literally are.
They've got to be gone now. Mm. Not that I'm laughing at you. I just love the fact that I'm a Boston boy, okay?
Yeah, Boston, born and bred, yeah.
All of Atlanta just stopped. And this is when people in Boston got really fucking just couldn't.
Yeah.
What you pussies?
Yeah.
3 inches.
Yeah.
Everybody in New England's gone, you're a fuck. Jesus Christ.
It's
you can't put up with 3 inches. Jesus, man. Try 24.
Yeah. It's like the molasses flood of 1920. Yes.
You pussy. I can't rent my car if there's. You should have people out there sanding the roads. That's what.
No, that's socialism.
That is.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. That
shouldn't have mentioned the S word. Like, yeah.
But you know what? Actually, now I did want to tie this because
there is a segue.
There was an actual person who sat there and said, look, this stuff that we are seeing right now,
yeah,
is climate change. And I had an argument with somebody who really, really said that, you know, it was, you know, it wasn't really proper to take political advantage of this. You know, you're taking advantage of the truth. Yeah. You know, you're telling us the truth. There was another guy who was a meteorologist who interviewed on Channel 4. I caught off the interwebs, Randy, and he had something to say. This guy's like an expert, and this is what he said.
The meteorologist Michael Fish is still with me. When we see extreme weather like this on both sides of the Atlantic, inevitably people start saying, is this being caused by climate change? Can we pinpoint climate change as the reason for these storms?
Officially, no. One such event you can't pin on global warming, climate change. Speaking personally, and I've got nothing, you know, this is not the Met Office speaking, this is me speaking, I do think there's a connection, yes. We've had this record area of low pressure in the Atlantic, record typhoon in the Philippines, a heat wave in Australia with temperatures of about 50 degrees Celsius, the floods in northeast India. We're getting more and more of these extreme events as time goes on, and I'm convinced, although that's not the official line.
Interestingly, in the States, where they're seeing all of this snow, I was living there the last time they had a huge snowstorm, Snowmageddon in 2010. Yeah. And what you could hear people saying all the time was, when it was absolutely freezing cold, they're saying, well, if nothing else, this at least proved there's no such thing as global warming. People are convinced that when it gets very cold, it means the planet can't be warming and we don't need to worry about climate change. How can you convince them otherwise?
The planet as a whole is warming, but that doesn't mean to say that there won't be places that are a bit colder than before and other places that are a lot warmer. Overall, year on, year by year, the planet is slowly warming.
Meteorologist Michael Fish on Channel 4.
In the UK.
And with an English accent. And yeah. He had a really nice suit. Saying, you fuckheads, look!
And she said, and the naysayers go, well, if it's global warming, why is it so cold?
You know what? That's what I said.
Yeah.
It's like, really? That's the argument.
But global warming.
I can't understand because it's just, I don't feel the cold now. I feel the cold now. So there's no global warming.
But there are going to be extremes.
Did you ever just sit back and go, humanity deserves what it gets?
Humanity is
stick your head up the fucking window.
Humanity is going to get what it deserves.
Oh man, and you know, I mean, it's like everybody's along for the ride, because more and more you're looking at the powers that be, and that's, you know, you got a left wing broadcast, and you got to believe in conspiracy. No, I don't, and sometimes I do. Yeah, because it is a conspiracy when, hey, Randy, cut this off of...
Oh!
Yes, I got a segue and everything.
Yeah,
okay?
This is good.
Cut this off of...
I wanted to hear about this, yeah.
This was in the New Republic, I think. I'm sorry. It's a blogger named Anne Werner did a blog. She's the author of Crazy and Dreams and Nightmares, who are available at the ARC store. Very nice article, I think it was probably featured in the Huffington Post, where she acknowledges that the American Legislative Exchange Council is at it again. They are going after, guess what, people who buy solar panels for their roofs.
Yes, this is, I cannot believe.
Unbelievable.
I cannot believe that they're saying, if you go to the trouble of putting these solar panels on your roof to... stop consuming, be green, whatever it is, or just to make your electricity meter run backwards because you're making more power than you need, well, you should pay for that privilege.
And you get penalized. That's the idea of the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is, of course, financed by the fossil fuel industries.
We put in this...
They don't want your communist solar panels.
We put in this infrastructure for you, the power companies, PG&E and all those people. We put in atomic power plants. We put in fuel and gas burning.
Yeah.
We put in all that sort of stuff. And you have the gall. You have the audacity.
Not to mention Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to mention the car makers. Yeah. And not to mention
the fossil fuel
industries like the Koch brothers.
Yeah, you want to go and make your own power by the sun, which we cannot control?
People must be stopped.
You have to stop them.
Okay, look, in a December report, Suzanne Goldberg of The Guardian wrote that about 800 state legislators and business leaders were set to meet in one of the super secret, never open to the public meetings to discuss and vote on the boilerplate legislative measures that will then go out to bought and paid for legislators willing to present them, sometimes unread, because that's too much like doing their jobs, and push them through lawmaking bodies of their states. That's about 800 state legislators that take real money and real stuff from the lobbyists at ALEC. These guys at ALEC are putting forward legislation to put a surcharge on people who put solar panels on their roofs to discourage them from doing that. Yeah. Let me tell you something, Randy. In this country where I live,
they paid us to put the
panels.
They
paid us to put them up. You go around my town here, and you and I live around the same.
The sun never sets in Australia.
Yeah, we have solar panels on everything.
Yeah.
On street signs.
Yeah, the electric street signs are powered by solar.
They're all solar. Everything's solar. And you know how much money we're making? Yes, that's right. Look at my bill.
My power
bill is like nothing. And I power a broadcast, for God's sake.
Look,
you know, and these people, the power companies and the fossil fuel industry.
Corporations are people too.
Corporations are not people. Stop baiting me.
Look at Germany. Look at Germany.
Germany
has 60% of its power.
Yes, they're very efficient in Germany.
Yeah, in producing.
Like that. Yeah,
in producing.
Because the solar panels. No.
Electricity. Yes. From renewable sources. They're not stupid.
Should annex the solar panels. Sorry.
They put everything. And they have less sun than most countries have.
Yes,
because
they do.
They're Northern Europe.
We got sun all the time here, man. That's the problem. I mean, it's like it is crazy, crazy weather in the summer.
Yeah.
Where you have literally. We're talking the Australian Open. Talk about freaky weather. The Australian Open.
Yeah.
Down here in Melbourne.
They were baking potatoes.
People were like passing out.
They were baking potatoes on center court.
Absolutely. You could have fried an egg center court.
No, they did the eggs and it was too quick. They couldn't get the camera lens cap off on top. Yeah.
Well, listen. One other thing that I wanted to talk about in our opening bit here today was, did you never guess what has happened, which is really, really good. Mm. And you've had the broadcast in which we talked about the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
TPP.
TPP is a free trade, and I say that loosely.
Yeah.
Free trade. Actually,
it's like a one-way street.
It's
called
a giveaway to corporations.
Those
you know, the people who finance elections. And the Obama administration, one of its most disgraceful displays, has been trying to fast-track this corporate giveaway that basically would, and this is what scares me most about it, I'll get that later, is the TPP actually takes sovereign tribunals.
Mm-hmm.
They take the place of courts in all the countries that sign the TPP. So anything that involves corporate law is not solved by the courts of that local, like where the crime takes place, say in Australia or any of the different places, it's solved in a corporate tribunal staffed by corporate lawyers. So evidently from now on, the corporations have invented their own little legal system just for them, which basically usurps the sovereignty of independent nations. And that's why no one has heard about the TPP. The only information was leaked to Public Citizen and it freaked everybody out. Yet, strangely enough, Biden and Obama are the ones who are trying to thrust this through the Congress. And you know something? I love Obama sometimes. This is a corporate tool law.
No, it is.
It does nothing but kill jobs. And what happened today is Harry fucking Reid, who now, I'm telling you, I'm giving him this right now.
Man, those kids sound happy,
they're
don't they?
They're lovely, and they all love Harry Reid.
Yeah.
And Nancy Pelosi.
Well, good.
She did the same thing. She's basically said, nope, we're not doing that. And Joe Biden is still running around talking about it. I was actually very shocked to see a speech recently in which Biden, who I think is kind of like a working, you know, he comes off as a working class guy, your dad used to know, you know. But the truth is, the TPP is going to screw working class guys that your dad used to know.
Mm.
So when I see Biden kind of doing that, I just kind of go, oh, shit, what's that about? Anyway, listen, I was wondering if we could take a short break.
Oh, yeah, let's take a break.
And then you want to talk to a little bit about what's happening in
Tennessee and Kansas.
Yes, Tennessee and Kansas.
I don't think we're in Kansas anymore, but yeah. We'll talk about
Tennessee
that in a minute.
Tennessee and Kansas and their LGBT problems. We'll be back right today on The Bill Show. Good to see you.
It's these bailouts that represent the abandonment of the capitalism.
Blowing the tops off mountains.
If you're out of a job, I guess you're a bum. You don't think that maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it was your fault, Orrin Hatch.
In healthcare, the lie that we should just allow the industry to run in a free market mode, the invisible hand of the market's going to take care of itself, nothing is farther from the truth.
This is Obama's my pet goat moment.
There's a Bush up for that.
Isn't this the end of democracy as we know it? If 51 senators can pass something against the will of the majority 49.
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media, edited, organized, and mixed, only at bestoftheleft.com.
Bill,
yes.
If I was to say to you the words religious liberty, religious liberty,
yeah.
What do you think that means?
Well, I think the liberty to worship as you see fit.
Like freedom of religion. Huh? Freedom of religion or something
freedom
like that.
Freedom of religion is the freedom, okay. Freedom to think.
Well, apparently, though, several legislators in both Kansas and
one of my favorites,
Tennessee. Yes, have brought these keep the gays away sort of, which I still can't quite work out exactly what it means. Oh. It's sort of like saying it's okay to discriminate against homosexuals.
Why?
In offering a service. Homosexual couples.
Oh, you mean kind of like the black?
Like being black. Like we don't serve.
Sitting
we don't serve your kind. Yeah, we don't serve your kind in here. We don't serve your kind
so
in here.
So we're going back to Martin Luther King time.
Yeah, but the point is like, I don't mean to sound bad, but
who are
how can you tell if somebody's gay if they're not like outwardly effeminate?
I got pretty good gaydar.
No, I don't. Like, I know some really quite macho gay guys, and I
know guys who are crazy over
and women.
I mean,
women who kick with the other foot. And I don't.
I think we're going off the point here.
No, we're not. The point is,
Kansas
is that
and Mississippi so pissed off about.
Well, they don't want. Well, they don't want to have to serve them.
How are they going
to
possibly pass a law?
Well, it's already being passed. It's already up there.
Tell me about the law.
Okay, they've got this controversial proposal, both states, that says you can refuse service or not take part in same-sex weddings. You don't have to offer treatment. It's not really clear. Yeah.
No, I can turn down treatment to somebody who's gay who gets shot and drops at my feet.
Yes, it's
happen to be.
You will not be able to sue for discrimination against government services or businesses that refuse you service.
You've got to be fucking.
No, look, it says so right here. Discrimination is so okay.
Where are you reading from? The Kansas City.
The bill would bar government sanctions.
KansasCity.com.
Okay. From the Kansas City Star. Okay. The bill will bar government sanctions when individuals, groups, and businesses cite religious beliefs in refusing to recognize a marriage or civil union or to provide good services, accommodations, or employment benefits to a couple. Anti-discrimination lawsuits would also be barred. Individual workers and government employees would also get some protection. Now, like I said, how can you tell if you don't have gaydar? Are you going to ask people to come and say, I'm getting married? Is it a same-sex wedding?
Kansas and Mississippi.
Kansas and Tennessee.
Tennessee. All right. Kansas is fucking Tennessee. Okay, why do you guys live up to the worst?
But
cliches.
Oklahoma did the same
worst
thing.
Cliche dumb fuck award. Yeah. Why do I know the states that are going to be there? It's one of what I'm saying is that I can guess which kind of fuckwit state would actually pass a law that puts gays back with Martin Luther King and getting thrown off buses when Rosa Parks drove.
Well, they're saying also
only a couple of states really have still. These are the same states that aren't that crazy about the civil rights that King put in the first place.
Yeah,
we're talking about racist, homophobic assholes, and now they own states like Tennessee and obviously Kansas
and Oklahoma
and they are able. And it's the same fuckheads. You know, it's just the same fucking. I got a great thing. You know, I'll tell you something. Texas once said, if you don't do this or you don't do that, we're seceding. Good, fuck off.
Yeah, and they're the state that gets the most federal benefits.
There are certain states of the union. Fuck off. And people say, Bill, you know, that's not true of all of them. No, it's not true. They're great people in Texas. They're great people in Tennessee.
But those red states are fucked.
But I tell you, man. There's a certain percentage of your population in certain states that are just fucking crazy. They're just fucking crazy.
Keep the gays away.
Hateful, crazy, gun-crazed assholes. And, you know, that's true. You go down south, you get it. It's like, you do. And there's a big percentage of them, and they control your conservative party, the Republican Party. It just sickens me. Anyway, sorry.
No. I'm glad you went into a rant there. No, sorry. Good on you, because I really think that it's...
I'm ashamed of myself now.
No, please don't. But see, the point is that gay couples, if you and I went out to dinner, now we're both married, our wives are good friends, we both have children.
Yeah.
We don't have sex together, but if we went out to dinner together...
Well, back up, what?
Hang on. If we went out to have dinner together...
Yes.
All right? Two American guys.
Yeah.
What if the waiter came up and said...
Yeah.
Are you gay? I've already ordered or something like that. And I say, I beg your pardon? I mean, how are they going to refuse?
I would actually just go... You know something I hadn't thought about?
Yes.
I would just
Can you cut up my meat? Because my wrist is just too limp.
Not,
My wrist is just too limp to cut up this meat.
Seriously. But that's basically, if you go to some of these states, that's what your people are going to say. Are you gay? I'm sorry, I can't feed gay people.
I cannot serve. What if you're lying in the street, Christ, you've been run over by a bus?
Yes.
You've been run over by a bus. Look, if
Christ
Jesus
would want me to reserve my services from you, and let me tell you something, in the voice of all the gay people I've ever known, we don't watch your fucking service, okay, honey?
I would say the same thing.
Our weddings.
Well, look at the throwback against chicken filler.
What?
And pizza places when they said they weren't going to pay.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, chicken filler, whatever it was called.
Oh, yeah, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. People just boycotted them.
Yeah.
And they that's going to happen again. As soon as you find out somebody who won't allow same-sex couples or won't cater same-sex weddings, the pink dollar is strong.
Yes.
The pink dollar is strong.
Yeah. They listen
you,
to
you. And, you know, there's a lot of...
You know, and you cannot get around the rights homophobia, and they have it in a big way. This was revealed... Sean Hannity this week, because Sean Hannity, de Blasio is the new mayor of New York, right?
Oh, yes, I heard about this.
Who we love. I mean, we love Bill de Blasio. I mean, the man is like a hunking 6'2". I mean, he's one of the tallest people in the world. He looks like
as rich as Bloomingdale or whatever.
No. He's a normal kind of guy.
Bloom Garden, what was his name?
He's a bit of a Paul, but, you know, I mean, after Bloomberg's Nazi stage... Then, you know, like, you're going to just stop and frisk anybody you fucking want. I mean, no, Bloomberg did some stuff in New York City that was actually quite great.
Yes, I understand.
But his stop and frisk policies were Nazi intimidation, pure and simple, just shocking. But the thing is that now de Blasio's in right now. And de Blasio, St. Patrick's Day parade in New York City.
Yeah, it's on Fifth Avenue or something.
Banned LGBTs from marching.
What? You mean even if they were like an Irish gay band?
What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say that I bat the other way? I'm telling you, that's not
to be
true.
To be sure.
And I think the church wouldn't like us having those, you know, panty wasters walking down our streets like
and
that. De Blasio turned around and said, Well, okay, if you want to know that way.
I won't come to your parade. I'll come to your parade. Look, it's not like they wanted to turn it into the Sydney Mardi Gras parade.
No, he didn't like...
No. I can understand.
Yeah, I just wanted some people who were gay to march. It's kind of common nowadays that gay people want to march in big
parades. But isn't it always... What if it was Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade and they had a big blow-up?
Macy's would love the gay men.
Yeah, they all shop there too.
Man, I'll tell you, man, there's nobody with more disposable income than a successful gay couple in New York City.
Yeah, men or women.
Trust me, Macy's loves them.
There's nobody, no children.
I'll just buy there. Go ahead, wrap it up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's amazing. But the thing is, what I'm saying is that Sean Hannity took this as an excuse to say this about New York City under Bill de Blasio.
Welcome back to Hannity. All right, the left's intolerance toward everything and anything they disagree with seems to be growing by the day, especially here in the socialist state of New York. Now, the latest example comes to us courtesy of comrade New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, who recently said that he would boycott the city's iconic St. Patrick's Day parade.
The socialist state of New York?
Yeah.
Comrade de Blasio?
What the fuck is he talking about?
My goodness.
New York is because of Democrat, they dared to elect a Democrat. You know, on just like Hannity's sitting there saying,
what about Governor Roosevelt?
You're like, there's fucking New York. Wall Street is there.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not socialist because he decided not to go to a parade. He's such a fucking buffoon, Sean. You know, you really are. He's a fucking clown. He's like a sock puppet. He's such a, you know, I mean, really.
I could just hear all the radios turning off or the TVs turning off.
Such a fucking idiot. You know, I mean, he's really the fact that fucking de Blasio's Joseph Stalin because he didn't fucking go to the St. Patrick's Day parade.
But it's supposed to be inclusive. I mean, parades like that are supposed to be inclusive, right?
Oh.
If they wanted to march about something other than, you know, St. Patrick's Day or whatever, take it into account.
Absolutely. Anyway, on that beautiful note for Sean Hannity, we're going to take a break and we're going to be right back with Firing Line after this message.
Thing that I used to do.
Hey everyone, this is the big dog. You know, now that I'm not in charge, I love to kick back and relax. And I do love meeting the American people. You know, I do love also meeting the ladies. You should never underestimate the love of a grateful nation. And when I'm kicking back and having a cool one afterwards, I always listen to the Bill Show. You see, my name's Bill too. How about that?
And finally, new rule. It's great to be back. Thank you for welcoming us back for another year. We appreciate you having us in your home. And as we start a new year, let's start a new tradition, a good tradition, to replace one of our stupid traditions, like the Electoral College or the drug war. Let's make it a tradition that just as individuals make New Year's resolutions, so should America. Okay, so here they are. Our first New Year's resolution as a nation should be one familiar to individuals as well, and that is to improve a key relationship in our lives. You know how they say if you love something, set it free and see if it comes back? Let's try that with Afghanistan. Talk about a bad relationship. This has been like dating a girl for 13 years who tries to kill you every day.
That works.
And if breaking up with Afghanistan works, we could see if the absence of American military bases in Germany and Okinawa makes their hearts grow fonder. Second, America must resolve to stop doing everything late. Stop procrastinating. Do you know that our most recent Congress was the least effective in U.S. history? We got more done in 1812 when we didn't have email or phones and were at war with England and pirates. No wonder the whole southern half of the country still has Christmas lights up on the porch. On the other hand, of course, on the other hand, it's January 17th and I'm still doing New Year's resolutions. But I have a reason for being late. I was on a bridge in New Jersey and some bastard got me stuck in traffic.
But what is America's excuse? Why are we always running 50 to 100 years behind the rest of the world? We were one of the last nations on earth to ban slavery, the last country to now to adopt the metric system, the last country with a major political party still claiming global warming is a hoax, the last among the modern countries to provide universal health care, one of the last to label GMOs, one of the last to make Election Day a holiday. There are girls on 16 and pregnant who aren't this consistently late. But we're not going to drop that bad habit without making another important resolution, which is to stop hanging on to stupid stuff long after it's relevant, just because it's tradition. We don't need the Electoral College, or the drug war, or the penny, or farm subsidies, or an amendment in the Constitution about how citizens need rifles in case they have to take over the government. Why do we still have these things? Why do we still have capers in the fridge? Why am I still getting the phone book? Why do we need two Dakotas? Why do we still have daylight savings time? It made sense when 80% of Americans were farmers and we needed the sunlight to discourage grandpa from molesting the sheep. But now, no Americans are farmers. Monsanto just sprays a field with green goo and a month later, Cheetos pop out of the ground. And finally, a resolution I've been asking America to make for a long time. Be more cynical. Be less easily fooled. Case in point, all the people who are fans of these guys. Heroes to all the rural, heartland, traditional values gun nuts out there. Except here's what we recently found out these guys really looked like before they got their TV show. Preppy assholes at the golf club wearing Tommy Bahama. That's right, it's all an act. Fat cats pretending to be just folks, and you fell for it. Take a hint, Tea Partiers. This is what the Republican Party is always doing to you.
Now it's time for Firing Line with the Jubil.
Time for The Bill Show with Bill and Randall.
Do you like that? Do you like that?
I do.
Do you like that conceit of kind of like action radio?
Yeah.
NFL radio.
I sound like...
What about Bill Maher, huh?
I love that.
Thank
you.
Everything. By the way, we took that from Real Time, and please don't sue us because we're free.
No, Bill, it was great.
It was off YouTube.
We were laughing out loud. We were crying out loud.
I had to share it because he's so fucking right. He's so fucking right.
Brilliant.
You know, it's like he's funny, but every now and then you just go, God damn, he's...
That was a tribute. Right. That was a homage. You weren't ripping anything off.
No. Stop. Yeah, Bill Maher. Fantastic.
Terrific.
Sometimes, you know, my wife can't watch him. Because
why?
She finds the
peanut allergy is... what?
No, she's allergic to Bill Maher. No, she can't watch him because he is a bit sexist. And that drives my wife crazy. That drives my wife crazy. But I ignore.
If you don't have one, you don't have an opinion.
Yes, dear. So I watch Bill Real Time. You know, like in another room of the house.
Do you drop the C-bomb here at home?
Oh God, no.
Yeah, I'll bet.
God, no. No, that's like
sorry, ladies.
That's like kryptonite to women.
Yeah, it is.
It is absolutely. You can't do it unless you're a Londoner. Then you can do the C-word.
Well, it's a.
What are you?
If you're from the East End,
I can't say it.
If you're from the East End,
it's just like different because I was with a British person once.
There's actually a map of London,
I was with a British person. Yeah. I swear to God. Okay, prepare yourself because I'm going to say it. Okay, there was a British person who just turned a British person I was having a drink with, and we were talking about a politician, and he was just sitting there, and he just turned in the middle of crowded company and went, "Nah, he's stupid cunt." I just went, oh my God, you said the C word. Jesus,
it's a term of endearment. You know, it's a term of endearment.
Like all the British people around going, oh, well, you know.
it's like, a term of endearment, honestly.
So, but we're not going to say it again. I warned you before I said it. Because I grew up in a house where that was just the kryptonite word. If you said that, oh my God. My God, life or death. Anyway, we are back. We wanted to talk a little bit about a little investigation we've been doing about the minimum wage.
The minimum wage.
The minimum wage.
You know what? In America, they want it, they now want to make people pay to work. You can collect the tips, but you have to give us $5 an hour to come and serve in our restaurant. No, I just made that up. Sorry.
You're making shit up. You can't make shit up.
It had a ring of truth.
You're sitting there going, maybe that's...
It had a ring of truth.
That might be a new law.
It had a ring of truth.
What we're talking over is like who's financing the war against what Obama wants to do with minimum wage. This came out of Washington and the New York Times. Just four blocks from the White House is the
Four blocks.
From the White House,
you can practically deal drugs there.
It's a nonprofit institute, and that's what we're talking
about.
Like the Pons Institute.
Yeah.
It's an Employment Policies Institute. Now, Employment Policies Institute is a nonprofit organization. Let me tell you a little story about corruption. Okay?
Ooh, do tell.
Sit down, kids. It'll be fun. It's Uncle Bill's special time. Once there was a place, I'm going to do this like Mr. Rogers, okay?
Yeah.
There was
in your neighborhood.
Nonprofit institutions that didn't take, you know, they didn't have to pay any tax because they were considered to be in the public service.
Mm-hmm.
But these nonprofit institutions were made by large corporations. One of these nonprofit institutions was the Employment Policies Institute. Well, the Employment Policies Institute, it took all these donations from huge multinational corporations.
I tell you, corporations are people.
Now, it turns out that the Employment Policies Institute is being funded almost exclusively, wait for it, by the restaurant industry.
Exactly. And they're the ones who want to make you pay to come and collect our tips.
Yes, absolutely. And the guy who's in charge of this is a guy named Richard B. Berman. And Richard B. Berman is one of
the... He sounds like an assassin. Oh, Richard Bremer. Yeah, no, sorry. No, what no. was close? That's all the same
no, no,
letters.
No. I'm talking about... He's a corporate hitman, this guy. And I will tell you why. Because these are the guys that have formed the Employment Policies Institute, widely quoted... Economic Research Center, whose academic reports have been repeated when warning against increasing the minimum wage and it'd be harmful in increased poverty and unemployment.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Of course.
Look, pay them. If the minimum wage had been tied to inflation, it would be up to nearly $10 now instead of $7.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is. We'd be you people in America, because we live in Australia. But the truth is that the real wages have not gone up for years.
No,
4 years, and productivity has gone through the roof.
And what about
people
penalty rates?
Screwed. And to the point where places like Walmart are had starting salary at $7 an hour. People at McDonald's are their average age is about 39 years old, Randall.
And they get $7 an hour.
They're making $7 an hour. Now tell me, who pays to make sure that their two kids have something to eat? I'll tell you who it is. It's all of us.
Yeah.
It's the United States government.
Oh no, you're not talking socialism. Oh goddamn.
The people who fall beneath the cracks in this minimum wage that land on safety nets. So they end up going on benefits.
Or food stamps.
Are financing the low wages that places like McDonald's who hire whores like Richard B. Berman, who is a corporate lawyer. Let me tell you a little bit about Richard B. Berman. Okay?
Oh, tell us all the dirt.
Let's talk a little bit about Richard B. Berman.
I want
to
hear.
First, let's go back to... this is right out of the article that I'm taking from the New York Times. But none has played such a prominent and multifaceted role in recent months as the Conservative Employment Policies Institute, Berman's organization. The Employment Policies Institute, founded two decades ago, is led by the advertising and public relations executive Richard B. Berman, who has made millions of dollars in Washington by taking up causes of corporate America. He has repeatedly created official-sounding nonprofit groups like the Center for Consumer Freedom that have challenged limits. Yeah, I love it. Challenged limits like the ban on indoor smoking.
No, you cannot come into our restaurant unless you smoke.
Richard B. Berman is really, oh man, this guy's a reptile, because he used to work for tobacco companies making sure that people had to breathe in carcinogenic smoke where they worked. That Richard B. Berman looked at the two sides of this debate and landed consistently on evil. He's working for the tobacco companies, right? So, I just find that amazing. In recent months, Mr. Berman's firm has taken out full-page advertisements in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, plastered on a metro station near the Capitol with advertisements, including one featuring a giant photograph of Nancy Pelosi, the California Democrat, who is a proponent of minimum wage increases, that read, "Teens who can't find a job should blame her."
What? What?
These messages also promoted on websites operated by Mr. Berman's firm, including minimumwage.com, instruct anyone skeptical about the arguments to consult the reports prepared by the Employment Policies Institute, most often described as a nonprofit research organization. But the dividing line between the Institute and Mr. Berman's firm was difficult to discern during two visits last week to the 8th floor offices of 1090 Vermont Avenue, a building near the White House that is the headquarters for both Mr. Berman's personal firm of being a lobbyist and the nonprofit that he supposedly is an independent research organization. So, Mr. Berman.
I'm shocked.
Now, Mr. Berman, let me tell you something. I did a little research also on personally Mr. Berman. Let's hear a little bit. Mr. Berman, this is your life. From 1972 to 74, he was employed as a labor law director at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Ooh, yes.
U.S. Chamber of Commerce is the right-wing organization in Washington. It's lobbyist central. He moved into the food and beverage industry in 1975 under the mentorship of Norman Brinker, founder, this is off of Wikipedia, and founder and owner of Steak and Ale chains of restaurants. Then he served as executive vice president for Pillsbury Restaurant Group from 84 to 86. And he formed Berman & Company. And then he went to work for, guess what? Philip Morris. Yes, a tobacco company.
My goodness.
After that, he decided he'd maybe do a little bit more that would guarantee his place in fucking hell. Yes, this guy is fantastic. In 1990, Berman was president of the Beverage Retailers Against Drunk Driving, or BRAD, an organization formed to combat, now get this, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
MAD.
Man, I'll tell you, if you talk
Brad
about
and
it,
MAD,
yeah. Here's a guy who really wants to get to hell. As president, he argued for tolerance of social drinking. He's also worked as a consultant for the Minimum Wage Coalition to Save Jobs, which is another phony organization by the restaurant industry to stop people from getting fucking anything more than $7
an hour. This is a guy who's lobbying to pay slave wages.
Yeah, absolutely. The Huffington Post in 2013, this is what people have said about him. 60 Minutes has called him the booze and food industry's weapon of mass destruction. Labor union activist Richard Bessinger gave him the nickname Dr. Evil. And Michael Cranish of the Boston Globe has dubbed him a pioneer in the realm of opinion molding.
Dr.
In
Evil?
In September 2013, the Huffington Post included Berman in his list of America's ruling class hall of shame. And to top it all off, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to his personal thing and the Wikipedia, Berman's son is a singer-songwriter, a guy named David Berman, of the indie rock band Silver Jews. Richard Berman and his son have been estranged since 2006, largely due to David's disapproval of his father's public relations work. In January 2009, David Berman posted an impassioned statement concerning this relationship on a message board owned by the Drag City record label, marking the first time he had publicly confirmed that the lobbyist was actually his father. And this is what he said about dear old dad. "My father is a despicable man." Yeah. David Berman wrote, my father is a sort of human molester, an exploiter, and a scoundrel.
Oh, scoundrel.
David Berman, you are truly an asshole. Oh. And you know when you
mean Richard Berman, David Berman's the son. He's okay.
David Berman's fine.
Yeah, it's, but it's Richard Berman is an asshole.
David, I'm sorry, David. You're
he's
not
a C-bomb.
Richard is the older guy, and obviously Richard is really he wants to take that express train to hell because Richard is basically, I mean, what kind of dickhead, what kind of absolute moral vacuity would actually league four tobacco companies and get an against mothers who had lost children to drunk drivers.
Mm-hmm. No,
kind of guy does that?
But it's social. It's social drinking. I just have to get home after social drinking.
And these are
so I'll jump behind the wheel of a car and kill somebody.
America, meet corporate America.
Like that teenager in Texas.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I remember the teenager in Texas. We talked about that, but you don't know. Anyway. I just thought that I would go off.
Thank you.
Richard Berman, you earn a big fat
asshat
award.
Yeah.
It's an asshat award. So there was also an article.
There aren't enough hats for his ass.
Mm. There aren't enough hats for his ass. I've said that.
Yeah.
No, you said that. Okay, listen, there is another article that I really want to
talk
about.
Oh, tell.
Okay? Yes.
Was that a good feed? No.
No, shit. You left me hanging there.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, sorry. Wake up.
And fix that in post.
I spent the last hour, like 5 minutes talking to myself.
No, you didn't. I was enraptured.
No, you were.
I was absolutely enraptured to change my underpants. That was fantastic.
Okay, look. Do you think that money corrupts, Randall?
Absolutely.
Do you think that if you became like really rich, you'd be just a, you know?
Well, I'm asset rich.
You know, as I say in England, would you turn into a cunt?
Yeah. Well, a rich one, like Arabs.
I didn't say the NT. I just went, cunt.
See you next Tuesday. Just say see you next Tuesday.
Would you turn into a see you next Tuesday?
No. You know why? Because I cannot believe that money would cause me to sacrifice the things I believe are part of my moral fabric. I don't think I would.
I don't think that, you know, I really like...
I mean, you and I could go away and have fun and produce plays and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that'd be great.
But I think I would... My altruistic things would probably become a bit more,
If there is one...
In my third age, because I am in my third age.
We are.
You're in your second age.
Well, no, but we're both, you know, kind of...
Older.
Older.
Yeah.
Older.
I think I would probably do things like maybe... see more of my family and go away places.
Yeah, but evidently they've just finished a survey.
Oh, yeah, tell me about this survey.
This is rather disturbing to me because it kind of put a moral... a morality trail is the kind of thing. I'm a lefty, right? Mm-hmm. You're a lefty. We're both a bunch of...
Oh, yeah.
Far-left Democrats.
Left of center, yeah.
It's confession time. Now, this came off of the Huffington Post, and it said, study confirms... What are you doing?
Huffing. Sorry.
Stop it. Study confirms that money turns left-wingers into stingy right-wingers.
I can't believe that!
Yeah, well, let me just lay a bit of this on you. The more people win in the lottery, the more right-wing they become, according to the study that I'm talking about, right? And that includes many people who previously voted for left-wing politicians. Okay, the more they win, the more they believe that ordinary people already get a fair share of society's wealth. And what really bothers me about this is that, would you be a dick?
No, you cannot pay me enough money to be a dick.
To be a penis, you know, to be a real asshole. I mean, to be like Richard Berman.
Old money, you know? Old money, maybe.
Old money.
You know, because people tend to inherit conservatism.
You think that's true?
Yeah, they sometimes rebel against it.
But do you think that monetary, that the more money that you have, the bigger asshole you become? And I know rich people that are just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know of rich people who got money and then just...
I just think to make the study based on lottery winners is probably wrong, especially in the UK where they get all the money. They get all the money when you win.
In America, you just get a bit at a time.
Yeah, 25 years.
Yes, yeah,
in Australia.
You won't turn into an asshole. Yeah, here, now
you get
$10.
All the money. Well, no, because people also used to get into terrible.
They should have done that for Justin Bieber. You know, just giving him a little bit at a time.
Look, only four more. Only four more years. He's 27, and he
actually,
can...
I'm getting a little bit tired of piling on Justin Bieber. You know,
no, keep piling.
What on Justin? There's going to be a pile up on Justin. Going all gay there for a minute.
No, please
anyway,
don't.
We're going to be back in just a moment where we have, ladies and gentlemen, we have tinfoil hats galore and a tribute to two of the finest Americans, really fine American and talented Americans that passed away this week. Right here today, tonight, right now on the Bill and Randy
Randall Show.
Beautiful for spacious skies.
Por tus olas de granos tambar.
Yo pishina tzakuti.
Soy baba na mga brutas.
America, America. God shed his grace on thee.
And that wonderful sound of the theme, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our tinfoil hat segment tonight. Yes, it's that news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. Ladies and gentlemen, now we were listening to that wonderful Coke commercial during the Super Bowl. I thought that was great.
Yeah, There was a football game.
There was a football game, but they played that version of America. Coca-Cola came out.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it is really, I'm not a fantastic fan of Coca-Cola, but I think that ad is just fucking great.
Well, yes, because it's probably one of the truly international companies of the United States.
But
it's
the recognition of that we are a multicultural melting pot in America. If you go to America now, you see it. Totally different America because there are people of all races, creeds, and colors. And you know something? That's something that the people who professionally hate America.
Yeah. They make
I always
a career
look at them
it.
As like, you know, you live in a dictatorship.
Yeah. They want to.
You know, I mean, look at America. The positive side of America is that you find people who are Islamic, who are Christian, and we talk to badmouth a lot of the people in America all the time, but there is the good part of America, which is the fact that you can have a show like this and you can say stuff and you have a multicultural society in America. And I thought that very was effectively presented in the Coke ad. But there was one person who absolutely...
Oh, more than one.
No, and the right went crazy. It's like, America's ours!
No!
America's ours!
If English was good enough... For Jesus, it's good enough for Coke.
That's what Michelle Bachmann
well,
said.
Supposedly said.
Supposedly said if English was good enough
Look,
for...
Look, God wrote the Bible in English because he loves America.
So this is Eric Bowling from The Five. He is my tinfoil hat because he was just get his knickers in a twist. First of all, how can you get your knickers in a twist over such a really reverentially patriotic ad?
Yes.
You know, it is a real kind of America.
Well, let's have a listen.
It's a blowjob to America.
Just
yet,
about.
It has a recognition that you might have brown people here. Mm-hmm. So here, let's listen to Eric Bowling and his barely concealed racism.
They're going for that, you know, politically correct America's a melting pot. Now, yes, America's a melting pot. The problem here is, and it's not even bad if you have, you know, all the different cultures singing a song showing that America is a group of different cultures. But don't put it to America the Beautiful. You just don't. You use the wrong song. You ticked off a lot of Coke drinkers. You ticked off a lot of Americans. I think what you could possibly, for whatever you gain in this diversity thing that you're going for, Coke, you blew it with a lot of people who are very, very patriotic about that song. About that song.
About that song, Bill.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
It's a white song.
It's not a white song.
Yes, it is.
Look, America the Beautiful.
I don't like black people singing that song.
Or people singing it not in English. It was written.
Yes.
And published by a university professor.
Yes.
And she, a woman in 1895, was visiting Colorado, went up on the top of Pikes Peak and wrote a poem.
Really?
Wrote a poem, which was published and around about, 1913.
Yeah.
They put it to a hymn.
Yeah.
A hymn that fit.
Yeah.
And it became a song, a national song. And it was published, okay?
America the Beautiful.
America the Beautiful. This woman was not a right-wing racist
asshole,
nut job, wing nut.
And I don't think she
was. She was actually.
Well, wait a minute. I happen to have a copy. Listen,
woman,
let me tell you something.
Mr.
Berger. Yeah. I happen to have the original transcript
of
the poem that she wrote when
she
was.
What's
her name? What's her name again?
Catherine Lee Bailey.
Catherine Lee Bailey, and I'm looking
Bates, Kathy Bates. The actress.
She wrote this, and I actually have the actual thing.
No, you don't.
I do. I'm
right.
And the bottom it says, "Will only be sung by Caucasians."
She was actually
speak English.
No, she was actually an avowed socialist.
No swarthy brown people.
She was an avowed socialist and a lesbian.
She was avowed socialist and a lesbian?
And a lesbian.
You're kidding me.
She actually wrote it about the bounty of America.
No, back up one. The person who wrote America the Beautiful.
Listen to the third verse. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, till selfish gain no longer stain the banner of the free. Fuck me. This woman.
So Eric Bowling's pissed off because she doesn't
because
want.
Because a socialist
he
lesbian.
Doesn't want, okay. He doesn't want black or Hispanic people to sing
a song. Okay. This is an American.
That was written by a lesbian socialist.
It's called a national. It's called a national song, like God Bless America.
But I love how Eric
but
goes,
you know what? A lot of people would prefer America the Beautiful to be the national anthem.
I just
Do you know why?
Why?
Because Star Spangled Banner.
It's hard to sing.
No, it's also about war, War of 1812,
yes,
the bombs bursting, and people dying, and all that sort of stuff.
I think America the Beautiful is far nicer.
It's a
beautiful,
wonderful
beautiful song.
Okay.
But the thing is, I love the way they did it in the Coke ad. Eric Bowling sitting there saying childishly, you know, they can have any other song, just not that one.
Yes.
That's our special song.
It's not.
And to know that it was written by a lesbian socialist is great.
And
now,
to read that third verse, I think people should look it up.
Yes.
Read the third verse and you will find that it's actually quite an all-embracing song about America.
Bunch of lefties,
about its hope.
Yeah.
About give us your sick and your needy and your great unwashed.
Yeah.
And all the things that
not Eric.
The Statue of Liberty says. And not what this other Eric Bowling, this other tin hat says.
Anyway, now you have this.
Oh,
guy,
another tin hat.
You have another tinfoil hat to give out today.
I thought these guys in Kansas and Mississippi.
You said to me on the phone today, you said you've got to go to YouTube and you've got to see if you can get a snatch.
Don't say a snatch.
Did you got to get?
Sorry,
that
means
you got to get
a snippet.
You got to get a snippet of this guy that I just read an article about. Mm-hmm. And we did. We found a snippet of this guy. This guy is nuts.
Well,
this guy is
listen.
Great. I love this guy. When looking for asshats, you just find that really just fantastically Nazi
He's
kind of thing.
He's pulled it all the way over his head.
Oh, man. This guy.
Down below and hooked it under the chin. Let's have a listen.
Champagne asshat. He's got to take it from Eric.
Oh, his name is Brother Danny Reagan.
You tell us a little bit about Father Danny.
Yeah, Brother
Danny.
Father Danny
is going to secure me. Yes,
from the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ.
Of course. Now, you know you're in trouble right there.
Well, no, I think he's from Tennessee.
Oh, you know you're in trouble right there.
Yeah. Well, we talked earlier about the fact
Tennessee
and Kansas have got these keep the gays away thing.
Yeah.
I think that Brother Danny Reagan of the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, who happened to have been a black man as well, believes that we should bring back segregation and stop mixed race marriage.
He comes out, and this is the most astounding piece of shit. But it's like, it's on YouTube. He broadcasts this shit. I'm going to start you with this is a sermon where he talks about the mongrelization of the races.
Yeah, so, he's a fucking inbred cracker, yes, as it
there
is.
There we go. The mongrelization of the races. All right. What is his name?
Oh, brother Danny Reagan.
Mine's
Donnie.
Donnie Reagan. I like the cut of this man's jib. The mongrelization. Okay,
that's
here we go.
That's
mein Führer. Yeah. Here it is. Donnie Reagan.
Now, I'm going to deal with something for just a few minutes. It's probably going to make some folks mad, but what's new? Now, we realize that there's a move in the message of blacks marrying whites, whites marrying blacks. It's okay, I excuse y'all from saying amen. I wouldn't want you to be committed where anybody would know that y'all stood for the truth. And folks think it's all right. But you know what? My God still has nationalities outside the city. Now watch this. Brother Bram says, high breeding. How terrible high breeding. The hybrid, the people. It's a big molding pot. I got hundreds of precious colored friends that's born again Christians. But on this line of segregation and things that they're talking about, high breeding the people. What? Tell me what a fine cultured, fine Christian colored woman would want her baby to be a mulatto by a white man. No, sir. It's not right.
We must purify the races.
What a douchebag.
Oh, my God. You know what really shocks me is that...
Amen, this, brother. Amen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a Nazi fuckhead.
Amen.
You know, but for the Lord. Because the Lord would have put blacks outside the city. And I tell you something, a mulatto child. Yeah. Well, my. Next thing you know, they'll be eating at the same coffee houses and using the same toilets.
Oh, dear. The water fountains. My God.
My dear.
It's called the White House
I
for a reason.
Bear it.
Oh, dear.
Hey, was he from Tennessee?
Scottsboro, probably.
This guy, fantastic. Listen, I love that American Nazi racism. That's fantastic. Great, man. You are a fucking asshat, tinfoil hat achiever. Yes, sir. What is his name again? The brother.
Oh, brother Donnie Reagan.
Donnie Reagan.
The Happy Valley Church of
from
Jesus Christ.
From the happiest valley in the fucking world. Don, you are our supreme asshat of the week. Donnie!
Yeah
baby! We're going to give you a bit of a
high breeding. Why are all these, Nancy, why are all these people clapping for me?
I don't know. Well, you're getting a round of applause because you are a fucking asshat. You are a fucking tinfoil hat. Anyway, now listen, before we wanted to leave this broadcast because we're getting toward the end.
Yeah.
We wanted to acknowledge two people and an article that appeared in the New York Post
and in the Sydney Daily Telegraph.
Unfortunately, in this last couple of weeks since we were last on, one of my favorite actors, and Randall, you're an actor,
yeah,
and I'm an actor.
Yeah. He was the actor's actor.
He was,
honestly,
man.
Yeah.
He's fucking amazing. Philip Seymour Hoffman died of a heroin overdose in New York City, and it was a very heartbreaking thing to see somebody who was so supremely gifted as an actor. I mean, really, an incredibly chameleon-like presence on the screen and also on stage. Just finished an amazing performance.
I would have given anything to see his
Death of
a
Salesman, directed by Mike Nichols, and evidently was just amazing. Mm. I mean, just amazing. Mm. People say that they're going to remember that performance for the rest of their lives. You know, and then he dies of this really tragic heroin overdose. He'd been combating an addiction problem for years. He's comparatively young, but for the last 10 years, he'd been clean. And he has always had an addiction problem. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, anyway, he's died. His kids are walking down the street. And Rupert Murdoch, God, what an asshole. He really is a dick. Rupert Murdoch ran the Telegraph here in Australia. And he framed a picture of the kids of Philip Seymour Hoffman above the headline, Kids Grieve for Junkie Dad. And then his fucking whore over at the New York Post had this to say.
Hoffman has been painted by leaders in the drug trade not as an adult who made the fatal decision to get high. So her concern is that people are treating him as though he is a victim, as opposed to someone who made a decision for himself to go shoot up heroin.
Right.
She continues to write, in the end, heroin was Hoffman's companion. The sad inventory of items police found in his apartment included 50 plastic bags of heroin bearing the words Ace of Spades and Ace of Hearts, plus 20 empty bags. There were 20 used syringes and a batch of fresh ones, five vials containing various prescription pills, and a charred spoon Hoffman likely used to cook up his final fix. Hoffman had been sober for 23 years before diving off the wagon. He made his choice.
That was the Young Turks reading the article by Andrea Pizer. Andrea Pizer, he made his choice.
What a bitch. I mean,
you really, you are.
Look, people.
How could you possibly, you know, it's that superiority. Mm-hmm. He made his choice. Yeah, he tried. Did it ever occur to you, you intolerant bitch, that maybe the guy's been going through pain? He has an addictive personality. I've never known people who were faced the problems of addiction and going out and trying to defeat their problems of addiction and actively doing it and staying clean for 20 years. And then as soon as he weakens, as soon as he takes his own life, the only thing that you guys mutter is, well, so there. He got what was
coming
to him.
It's like he made his choice. It's like he chose to die. No, he didn't choose to die. It was an accident.
And for Murdoch to go after his kids, fuck you, you prick.
Yeah.
You know, really, there are people like this Pizer bitch and Rupert Murdoch are the lowest common denominators in this fucking society.
At least she didn't tap his phone.
I'm sorry, I get emotional about this.
Can I, let me just, while you,
I just get emotional. Okay, let me just, fuck you.
Everybody knows the name Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
Wrote West Wing, A Few Good Men on the play. He also wrote a film called Charlie's War, which starred Hoffman. And one of the things that they said when they were together, they sort of said to each other, because Sorkin was a reformed drug addict as well, he said to Hoffman, when we die, we will save 10 people's lives. And they said that to each other. It was a pact. It was an understanding between the two of them. And as Sorkin came out the day after Hoffman died and recounted this anecdote, he said, I know 10 people will kick the habit or more.
Well, it's the same thing.
Because of Philip dying.
It's like kicking the guy, you know. I mean,
no,
like
they'll stop taking heroin.
People like Rupert Murdoch and this Andrea Pizer are in the business of kicking his corpse before it's even cold.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're vile, underachieving worms of people. Unimaginative, incapable of creating the beauty that Philip Seymour Hoffman created on stage as an artist every fucking night. Mm. They're lowlifes. People like Pizer, she's a hack working for a hack newspaper, working for a news organization that is a fucking joke. You're a hack. You maybe have a lot of money, Andrea, but you know deep in your heart you're just a fucking hack and a vindictive bitch as well. Mm. Fuck you. Sorry.
Okay. Now, have a listen to me.
God, I had to get that out. Yeah,
at least that's out of your system.
Yeah. Now, the last person that we...
Hang on. Were you going to play something about...
Yeah, I was going to play the other person that we lost this last 2 weeks.
Yeah, so we lost more than just two.
But the two that we're talking about today is Sid Caesar.
Yeah, Sid Caesar. Your show of shows.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was a genius.
Well, to do, what was it, 90 minutes of live television?
Yeah, at the start of television. People today don't realize that Sid Caesar is American comedy.
Yeah.
He is,
and
gave
all
the you
people
the Seinfeld.
Who wrote for him and cut their teeth.
Oh, look, three people in a room. Look, you had Sid Caesar, Mel Brooks, Woody Allen, and Rob Reiner in one fucking room. Yeah. You know, I mean, Jesus Christ. These guys are gods, you know? And they were that
Neil
one,
Simon. They yeah. all learned to ride.
And Neil Simon as well.
They all learned to ride for he and Imogen Coca.
Mm.
And they did this show once a week.
Yeah,
90 minutes long.
And it was like necessary television at the time when television was it. Television was it. You had water cooler moments. And Sid Caesar owned America. Yeah. He was an amazing talent.
Your Show of Shows was a must watch.
Mm.
They even made a musical about it.
Yeah, I know.
At a movie, My Favorite Year.
Yes, My Favorite Year, fantastic movie. Anyway, listen, to a tribute to Sid Caesar, this is Sid Caesar. Sid Caesar, at 94 years old, passed away. He was a wizard at accents. He could absorb accents, and he actually made up languages that sounded like French, sounded like German, but was complete gobbledygook.
Yeah.
But it sounded good.
Yes.
And it was genius. He could do it in French. He could do it in Italian. And in this case, German. This is a little
German,
thing.
Let's have
German. There's a little thing called The General, in which Sid Caesar comes out, and the guy who's with him is his valet. And he's putting on the German's top coat. You know, a lot of it is physical. But listen to Sid Caesar do the German in this German scene. None of this is actual German. It's just bullshit. Listen to Sid Caesar in the General.
Ja, mein Herr. Was kam aus der Kleine, was kam aus der Greifen, was aus der Kleine, was kam aus dem Splendor Augen?
Ja, mein General, ja, ja.
Das gefilte Rauch ist hier, was heißt man dann zwischter Splendor hier?
Ja, ja.
Das macht die, was tut aus der Ehe, das Mannequin ist geschmutzig.
Geschmutzig!
Das Mannequin ist geschmutzigt und man macht die Außenkleider, du bist da, das sei da. Das Gräsin ist verschmutzigt.
Ja, ich hat geweiftet.
Ja?
Ja?
Ist gefallen für die Ehre, mach die immer, mach Mannequin spick und spähen.
Ja, so. So.
Gut. Ach, das ist schlipprig von der Schleife jetzt.
And not a word of that.
It's real.
Is real German. It's all bullshit.
It was Sid Caesar, wonderful.
Oh man,
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I wish you could have seen actually that stuff, and the fact that it was recorded in 1953. I was watching it the other night, and the physical comedy, because you can't do it over the radio, but it's worth looking up. The General, Sid Caesar. It's really quite funny, and it ages very, very well. It's all physical humor, and this guy was just so fucking good. And, a real influence in the way comedy has been played in America for the past 30, 40 years. Yeah. Sorry to see him go.
Yeah, sorry to see him. Sorry to see Philip Seymour Hoffman. Also, Shirley Temple Black.
Yes, Shirley Temple.
Ambassador Shirley Temple at 85.
Yeah, Nixon appointed
child
her.
Child star.
Yeah.
Retired at 21 in 1950.
Yeah.
From films and became a diplomat.
Yes. Yeah.
To Ghana.
To Ghana as well.
And a couple of other places. But
yeah
wonderful woman.
Yeah.
Actress, philanthropist, and also Ralph Waite.
Ralph Waite from the Waltons.
The Father in the Waltons.
The Father in the Waltons,
and
of course.
He was working up until last year in NCIS.
Ralph Waite was also, I can't remember, I got to remember, he played a villain in a movie, man, and he was just terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
He was such a good actor, you know, and I mean, it's like people know him, they say, oh, that's
father. That's Grandpa Walton.
That's not Grandpa Walton, he's gone.
That's but like Father Walton. Waltons.
Yeah. The Father in the Waltons, actually, Ralph Waite, a real old lefty. You know, real old socialist, proper, you know, real
but people from wanted him to be
real
their
old
father,
socialist, you know,
just like they
blacklisted
wanted,
socialist, you know.
Yeah.
And but Ralph Waite was also an amazingly capable character actor.
Yeah. But
and the fact that he's known only for the Waltons is very sad.
Well, they wanted,
I saw Richard Thomas, who played John Boy in a play.
I saw him 5th of July. I saw him do 5th of July.
He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful actor. And people still just know him for...
John Boy Walton.
John Boy and the Waltons. He's just incredible.
Yeah.
Really
but,
good actor.
But just like they wanted Martin Sheen to be the real president, they wanted Ralph Waite to be their real father.
Oh, yeah. Robert, the father and the Waltons, really, seriously. I got to say, the first couple of seasons of the Waltons, some of that stuff is really touching. It's cornpone, but I really actually liked it.
Night Bill.
I did like some of the Waltons. Yeah. And the thing about the Waltons is it's Earl Hamner's politics was not the right-wing politics. He was still cornpone America, but it was like endorsing, partnership with people regardless of race, creed, color, national origin. I remember them running the Waltons shows.
What was the movie?
Social conscience.
Spencer's Mountain was the actual feature film that it was based on with Henry Fonda.
Yep. Yeah.
I can't remember.
And actually, it was the first the pilot for the Waltons was actually with Patricia Neal, and was
as
called,
the mother
as the mother of, in a TV movie called The Homecoming.
Yeah.
So but, I know far too much. I'm
you
too
do.
Old.
You're just
anyway. We got to say goodnight.
Yeah. Good night, John Boy.
Yeah. Good night, John Boy.
See you in a couple of weeks' time, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.